just keep holding on.
That's Tom Weinberg's new favorite performer. That is Alan Barkus, who was just on the radio. It's my great pleasure to have in here a dear friend, a grand talent, Tom Weinberg. If you get the Tribune online or in print, you saw a story today about Tom and his remarkable book, Chasing the Lost City, Chronicles of Discovery in Honduras. I'm so glad you made it back from Honduras.
Me too.
Yeah, I'll bet. This is a story, Tom, that's been part of your life, this search for a lost city, for more than two decades, right?
Yeah, 21 years, and I have no excuse.
Well, but you first heard about it from a friend who had been down there, and there's a lost city in the middle of Honduras, and okay.
It's been a legend for hundreds of years.
Right, that people have been looking for it, and who knew what it was. And then you go down there for the first time.
Well, first we went. I went down there first because we had kind of figured out where it might be. Okay, then came the hurricane. So our whole thing went down the drain. And I looked over. I went with the U.S. military. You wrote about that.
Yeah. Well, it's also in your book, and your book is fantastic. It's great. Lavishly illustrated, and it tells this whole saga. I mean, it basically tells the saga of you being an explorer since the time you were wandering around the ravines in Highland Park as a kid, that you always were seeking something, if not new and different, something strange and different.
This was as strange as it comes.
Yeah.
This is completely alien to anything that I might have imagined when I was a kid.
You kept going at it, though. That's the thing that really intrigues me about it. You were intrigued. It wasn't like the first time you flew over, you saw, oh, look, there's a lost city. It's impenetrable jungle, right?
Right. Amazing. I mean, you can see from the pictures in the book, when you're up and above it, it looks like miles of broccoli.
Right, which are the trees. And it's a rainforest.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
You couldn't have known, Tom, when you finally got in there, which was about 3 years ago.
It was 2015. Yeah,
15. You could not have known. Did you have any idea of the potential
peril?
You did. Like, for instance, what did you hear?
Well, it wasn't that we had heard. It's that we had used this technology called LIDAR, which is a laser technology that can see through the trees. Nobody had used it for looking for something. People use it on the ground. People use it for speeding, you know. But nobody had ever, like, taken it and said, oh, well, let's go take a look down there. And because the technology and the boxes are very expensive. They're highly classified. The most use of it is the military. They used it in Afghanistan.
Right, sure.
And nobody had done it on speculation, if you will. Well, we weren't just speculating out of nowhere. We had real good ideas from scientists and from people who know a lot. Said, well, this is where to look. Well, then we looked, and the way that works, it works kind of like a Zamboni,
right?
And you get an image on this. I mean, I don't want to get into the tech because I don't know the tech, but I know what happened. What happened is, to answer your question, we knew where we thought it was.
But this was a big expedition, too. It wasn't like you in a plane.
No, it was people
from universities and scientists and the best-selling author, Douglas Preston, who was also on this journey with a National Geographic photographer. When you got on the ground, mm-hmm. and started going through the jungle to try to find this, I get the sense from your book, and Tom's book, which is called Chasing the Lost City, Chronicles of Discovery in Honduras, is a great adventure tale, but it's also, there are moments of some humor in the book, too.
Well, Doug Preston wrote a wonderful book.
Yeah.
And he covered the whole...
And it was a bestseller earlier this
still
year.
Still is.
Yeah.
But what he decided with me or for me or urged me to do was to write a picture book. That's a companion to what he said. And to use my own personal take on what it is, and to be totally honest as my sense of it, not necessarily saying what the science is or what.
Yeah, I think that's the great appeal of the book. It's a personal. I mean, I know you, but it's also a personal story.
Thanks.
About
yeah.
it. You went down there. I mean, your intent when you 20 some years ago when you first started exploring this was to eventually make a documentary, not a book. You're a documentary filmmaker.
Right. Well, there will be a documentary.
Well, I know that.
But we don't know exactly when, but there will be in the next year or so, I assume.
But this was a way, too, for you, I think, this book, to gather your thoughts.
Exactly.
To be in a way that you can't really be in video, introspective in that way. You can't, you know, no documentary that you're going to make is going to start in the ravines. Well, actually, it would be cool. Start in the ravines of Highland Park. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, which is exactly why it was important for me to be writing this. And I wrote it. I was writing. It was almost like being a beat reporter.
Sure.
You know, so every night I would go to my laptop by my tent
in the
wherever,
jungle,
and I would put out, I don't know, 2 pages or so, maybe 3.
Yeah.
And just boom, 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 and that was it. Although all of those, each of those, and there must be 12, there's like 29 of them now, is each of those is in the book almost exactly as
wow.
I wrote it.
Wow.
The Chronicles. And
yeah.
some of them might not be totally accurate, but it was important to me to have them be contemporaneous.
Of the and of the moment, too.
Right, exactly.
Right? Of the moment. There was some. Were you ever scared down there?
There was.
I know you're with other people and stuff, but
there was a lot of reason to be scared.
Yeah.
But you know me also, and
yeah.
I'm stupid, and I don't. It's
He's
hard
not
to get,
stupid.
It's hard
stupid.
To get scared. I don't know. It's not my nature. I don't get very scared. I never have. That's true. That it should have been scarier.
Sure.
Than it,
you know, you're not a kid.
No.
No, you're not a kid. You're in the middle of the jungle. There are all sorts of animals and other things around. The book is an amazing adventure tale. It is called Chasing the Lost City, Chronicles of Discovery in Honduras. It's got a very cool website, chasingthelostcity.com. Go to that. You can see some pictures. Who did that for you? That is an unbelievable website.
It is, yeah.
It really is. Who made that for you? You don't even know.
Well, you know, I've had a little experience with
you
websites.
Have. Well, we'll talk about we'll talk about mediaburn.org.
This was a young man who was in eastern Maine.
Wow.
And I found him online.
Oh.
And very good, solid kid. I say kid.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I've never met him actually.
It's a great website, but it's even a better book. You can buy it anywhere. You can also buy a copy and meet Tom, and buy me a drink if you want to come to the Billy Goat on Lower Michigan this Tuesday at 5:30. He'll have copies of the book there. He'll tell you more stories. We will take a little break now, and we will come back, and he will tell us more stories. ChasingTheLostCity.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. One out, man on second, Dodgers at bat in the bottom of the ninth. Tom Weinberg in studio. ChasingTheLostCity.com is a great website, but Chasing the Lost City, Chronicles of Discovery in Honduras is a vastly better book. I like websites. I love books. Was this hard? I know you were sort of keeping an ongoing journal as it was going on, Tom. Always with the intention of doing a book?
Not really.
Yeah.
I didn't know. But I knew. Well, part of it was that there were a lot of people who were involved in the project who didn't know what was going on. And so I was sending those as emails a lot the night as it was going on, not from the jungle because there's no way to do that.
Right.
But from Roatan when we were doing the LIDAR and so on, and when we were in the hotel before we went to the jungle, I was writing and then putting that out because a lot of our people weren't in Honduras. They were
sure.
all over the place.
How long were you in the jungle on this specific
Less
trip?
Less than a week. I was.
Is that all?
Hey, you wouldn't want to be there anymore.
No, I mean, and you came back with a kind of a troublesome hand. a bad disease
is yeah, a better way to put it. And I did, and 10 of our 20 people also had it. And the Honduran soldiers who were with us, and about half of them got it, too. And in order to get rid of it, you have to do a lot of medical stuff.
Yeah, because I remember you in the middle of it, and it was sort of scary. Why were the soldiers...
That's when I got scared.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. Why were the soldiers with you? What potential?
Well, we were partners with the government all the way through. We couldn't do it. It's their place. It's their cultural patrimony. It's their everything. But we also had the wherewithal to be able to, and the knowledge to be able to do it. So they were partners in both in the archaeology and in the whole project. And they needed to be sure that we were safe. It's not a safe country.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
When we went from Tegucigalpa, the capital, to a small town called Catacamas, which is like the Wild West was. You know, it's an unbelievable place. Doug Preston said something, but I didn't know this until that he talked to some people in Catacamas, and they said, well, "What would it take to get to kill somebody here? What would be a contract?" He said, $20, $25.
$20 to kill somebody. Wow. Yeah, I should go down there.
It's a different world.
Some people up here can take care of. You would not, Tom Weinberg, you would not do it again, but it really was for you the sort of culmination of a life. You've been a pioneering videographer. You've been a pioneer in so many different ways. This physical trip was sort of the culmination for you of that kind of striving, was it not?
Absolutely. I don't know. I think that it was would I go back? Of course I would not go back. But would I have done what I did given the same circumstance? 100%, yes. I could not go after having that investment in it and that intellectually and every other way. I had to do it. I never gave it a second thought, which is when you asked, was I scared? Well, maybe I was. Should have been. But
yeah,
we had to do it. And Steve Elkins, who was the leader of the laundromat of the project, who was originally from Chicago, which is how I got into
it.
I don't know. You know, he knew a lot about all of it. He knew more about it than I did.
Yeah.
I mean, he had more science and background than I.
What did some people, I know you showed Doug Preston, whose book about the Lost City has been a bestseller since it was published in, I think, early January. He loves the book. I mean, most of the other people, when you're on a trip like that and you're writing about other people, all those other, not every one of those other people say, hey, he's got me perfectly. What's been the response?
From Doug or in general?
Doug and the others.
Doug in particular, I'm not sure
Were you afraid to show it to Doug?
No, because it started, I probably would not have taken it down the path of being an actual book had he not said, encouraged me for many months to say, what you have would be wonderful as a picture book companion to what I have written.
Right.
And he wanted me to do it. Mm. And he's a good guy. He's one of the best guys I know.
Wow.
But regardless of that, he never was threatened for a second about it. Quite the contrary. He's been cooperative. I also was cooperative with him in the sense that he had a lot of my old material that he used for his book. Because it was prior to his involvement.
But what is now the status of the documentary that began this whole thing? You, a lifelong documentarian, pioneering documentarian, what's the status of because you must have, I'd like, how many hours of film do you have?
I think
a lot.
There's over 100.
Wow.
Maybe 150. And there's a back story as well. I'm not producing the documentary. Bill Benenson, who
was in the book,
and he's a producer and a director, and he's done documentaries and features, and he's in L.A., he's in Santa Monica, and he has it's his thing. I'm a co-producer. I've been kind of giving him notes and talking about it from the beginning, but I don't have control. So
gotcha.
When you ask when's it going to happen, I would hope it had happened like the day that Doug Preston's book came out. Well,
right.
it didn't, and it wasn't
Or then
ready.
The day that your book came out.
That would be good,
yes, the day the premiere will be at the Billy Goat at 5:30 on Tuesday. That's the book party. That's just the book party. You've seen a lot of this footage, though, yes? You probably shot tons of it, too.
I've seen almost all of it. And, in fact, the pictures that are so beautiful in this book are still frames, a lot of them anyway, still frames from the video.
Oh, wow.
That my designer partner, Elon Soltis in L.A., we plucked them out, picked them, and matched them to the text.
Wow.
So, and in a sense, you know, it's not a usual picture book in that every picture has a caption.
Oh, no, I think that's one of its strengths.
But the pictures that correspond and they're associative with what's...
To the text. That's one of its great, great strengths. Again, the book is called Chasing the Lost City, Chronicles of Discovery in Honduras. The website is chasingthelostcity.com. The website of what Tom does when he's not in the jungles is called mediaburn.org. We're going to go to commercial, right, Lise? Going to go to commercial, then we're going to get some news, and if it's still tied 1-1, Tom Weinberg will be back. If it is not tied 1-1, and one of these teams has beat one, it's John Lackey's pitching. There are two outs in the bottom of the ninth. I can't tell from this TV set who is up, but Yasiel Puig, the showboat of all showboats, is on second base. And we're watching it as we speak. I don't know what the count is here. Contreras is again walking to the mound. We'll either be back or not.